over to Professor Danny Dorling. He's a professor of human geography at the University of Sheffield. He's an author of a number of books on equality and inequality, and is also a member of CLASS's National Advisory Panel. So, Danny, you're very welcome.
Thank you. I ought to say I've just moved job and house a little bit further south, so Sheffield don't have to get the blame for whatever I say for this. But just in case my new employer does complain, I won't tell you where it is. Academics, what's the point of academics? It's a question well worth asking. The point is there is a lot of them. There are a lot of academics out there now, and they are, to a large extent, unused. They're writing things that nobody reads, in journals that nobody can access, often very slowly, talking to students who really don't want to hear them, who they do not necessarily always want to talk to. They're a frustrated bunch of people. And they are a resource. Because of this, they are a resource. They are worth using. You don't actually have to pay them to write things. They do know some things about some issues. They do think they know more, as you're going to hear in the next 5 minutes, about issues they don't know about. But they're a resource, and they should be used more. They also would quite like to be heard sometimes. Academics do some things themselves. They do organise themselves. If you want an interesting website to look at, Google History and Policy, website initially set up by the University of Cambridge, which has hundreds of papers about how we've all been there before. Any policy that comes up, here's when it happened 100 years ago. But, of course, they don't publicise what they do that well. The other thing about academics, in case you didn't know it, we have about 2 million students in universities in Britain at any one time now. We've been privatised. Almost completely privatised in the last 2 years. 2 years ago, the state paid about £9 billion a year to pay for academics. It was a largely state service. In effect, we were working in grammar schools. There was an 11 plus at age 18. You had to get the A-levels. Get the A-levels, you're in. Small loan, state funded. We were working in grammar schools. We've been privatised with the collusion of the last New Labour government, so that kiddies are now chalking up minimum £27,000 debts to payers, and the government can just leave us alone. It happened, or the way they got away with it, the kind of quiet deal, which I'm sure that they, it's good I haven't mentioned my employer, I'm sure the UCU is kind of partly new. The theory was we wouldn't have any job cuts. Won't take any job cuts, the students can all pay themselves in the future, let's all keep quiet about it. The result, 2 years later, is you can see people losing their jobs in those universities to which the students haven't flowed. There are fewer students going to university now than there were, partly because there were far fewer babies born 18 years ago, but also because the debt does deter people. In other universities, particularly in the south of England, people are flocking to them, there's too much work to be done. Most of the new jobs that I've seen advertised are now temporary, not permanent. And so you've got these academics feeling increasingly insecure, which means that they're even more of a resource to get to help. These are comfortable members of the middle class who are not particularly happy. So that's the first half of what I was supposed to talk about, academics and how to use them. But it's a good example of how this kind of thing is spreading way out from normal working people to what were some of the most comfortable people in our society. And that's worth tapping. That anger, that fear is worth tapping. I'm supposed to plug this little thing, which you can get free copies of, in place of Fear About Health Inequalities. Now it's at the back of the room. The key point it makes is that in the last couple of years, we've had rising numbers of deaths amongst the elderly in Britain. The absolute mortality rate of the elderly has been going up, to make it possible that in about a year's time, life expectancy may be recorded as falling in this country for the first time since the 1930s. I put all the caveats and the babies in, not just because I work in a university, but because we don't know how many people may have returned from Spain who retired there because they can no longer afford to live there and so on. So we're not quite sure. But it looks as if things are getting absolutely worse in terms of not just living standards and wages, but actually death rates amongst the elderly. The government has finally responded to this about 6 to 8 months after it first began to become evident it had happened. And they produced a report about 2 weeks ago through Public Health England saying that their analyst, who'd blown the whistle and said it's occurring had made a mistake and shouldn't have blown the whistle, shouldn't have told you that your parents and grandparents are dying at a higher rate, and that it was probably the flu. Probably the flu. And this is, if you're going to remember anything for my last few minutes of talking, remember the phrase, it's probably the flu. It's a funny odd flu. It's a flu that somehow is affecting women over 85 far more than men over 85. It's a new strain of flu. The big difference between women and men in this country over 85 is that elderly men tend to be living with partners, with women, being looked after. Elderly women are the vast majority of single, very elderly people because the men die earlier. It's also a funny flu that's hitting people in the worst off areas of the country more than in the best off areas. And it's a funny flu that seems to be particularly attacking places where people were fearful of their places in residential homes and nursing care and the Meals and Wheels were going and so on. But just remember, the death rates are going up for the elderly and they're blaming it on the flu. You can't carry on blaming it on the flu all the way through the summer, into the autumn, into the next winter anymore. And this will matter. I had several other things I was going to tell you about the great evils. I'll just say one about squalor and housing, as Owen mentioned it. I think one thing we've got to be careful of is that we've got to offer things that are practical and possible, as well as idealistic and good, and have to be different from Beveridge's time. On houses, a housing building programme would be useful, particularly as we're going to carry on attracting people into this country, which is great. So we're going to have to build houses for them. But we actually have more houses now than we've ever had, and more rooms in houses, more per person, more per child than we've ever had. So you should think, well, why have we got a housing crisis? We've got more bedrooms in inner London than there are people sleeping in inner London. Even if nobody in inner London wanted to sleep with anybody else, everybody could have a bed. And this is weird facts that people like me collect and look. It's in the census, which of course they're going to cancel because they don't like us finding out things like this. What has happened with our housing, at the same time as we haven't built more state housing, is that people have been quietly building extensions on their houses, quietly building in gardens. There has been building over the last few decades. But the majority of the people who've taken those extra houses, the second house in the city, the flat, the holiday home, the home to let out, the home to rent, the buy to let, which is empty half the year, the extra housing has been taken by people at the top of society. And what do? We stick a bedroom tax on those people who most neatly fit into their houses. And then, and this is why I could be careful, and the left says build more. Building more is good, but first of all, look at what's been taken away that's already there. Because the danger is you could build more, and the people at the bottom of society could get less and less and less. So you need to show those kind of things to be different from the past. I could go through schools and other things about how we can't just return to what was good, and the 70s were very, very good. We can't just return to what's good about them. You've got to show how they're lying very cleverly and make people think that to be a winner, you need to be cleverer than Osborne, and if you're cleverer than the rich boys, then you can feel positive about yourself, about the kind of society that you're heading towards. Getting people being optimistic about the future rather than simply trying to defend the positions they used to have. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Danny, very much indeed.